Everything about this was so remarkable that we might have stood there for hours looking at it if Braj hadn't turned to pay attention to our drivers. They were clambering over the tractor, knocking ice from various pieces of equipment, inspecting the treads, rattling the linkages between the tractor and our sledge, checking fluid levels in the engine. Braj was a dour and calm man, but he was extremely attentive, even skittish, to be standing on the snow at a time when both of the drivers had mounted the tractor. After a minute, he simply became too uncomfortable and climbed back aboard. I was happy to follow his example. Only a few moments after I'd settled back into my place, we heard the door of the tractor thudding shut. We called out to Laro and Dag, who were several paces behind the sledge, frozen in amazement at the sight of the convoy. We managed to get Dag's attention. He turned to look at us, but still didn't seem to grasp what was happening until the engine of the tractor roared up and a linkage clanked as it was put into gear. He smacked Laro on the shoulder, then took a couple of paces toward us, grabbing Laro by the collar as he went by and jerking him along in his wake. Braj shifted closer to the back and thrust out an arm in case he had to pull them aboard. I got to my feet and moved closer in case I had to do the same. The tractor's engine roared louder and we heard the distinctive clanking of its treads beginning to move. Laro and Dag reached us at about the same time. Braj and I each grabbed one of their hands and hauled them aboard. Their momentum carried them forward into the front of the sledge. The tread clanks had already built to a steady rhythm. We weren't moving. Braj and I looked out at the snow. Then we looked at each other. Both of us jumped out and ran around to the sides. The tractor was 50 feet away from us and picking up speed. The hitch that had linked it to our sledge was dragging on the snow behind it. Braj and I started running after it. The tracks supported our weight most of the time, but every few steps we'd break through and sink to mid-thigh. In any event, I ran faster. I covered maybe 100 feet before the side hatch swung open and the second driver emerged. He clambered out onto a sort of running board above the right tread and let me see a long projectile weapon slung on his back.
"What are you doing?"
I shouted. He reached into the cab, hauled out something bulky and let it drop into the snow. A carton of energy bars.
"We're going to have to take a different pass now," he called back. "It's farther, steeper. We don't have enough fuel."
"So you're abandoning us?"
He shook his head and dropped out another object, a can of soot sack fuel.
"Going to see if we can beg some fuel from the military,"
he shouted, getting farther away.
"Down there. Then we'll come back up here and fetch you."
Then he ducked back into the cab and closed the door behind himself. The logic was clear enough. They had been surprised by the convoy. They couldn't get to safety without more fuel. If they took us with them on their begging expedition, it'd be obvious that they were smugglers and they would get in trouble. So they had to park us for a while. They knew we'd object, so they had left us no choice. Braj had caught up with me. He had produced, from somewhere, a small weapon. But as he and I both understood, there was no point in taking pot shots at the backside of the tractor. Only it and the two men in it could get us out of here.